You're listening to Verse by Verse. I'm Brenton Powers. Today, we'll study Jude verses 16 through 19, a reminder of the apostles' predictions. In context, Jude wrote to Christians to encourage us all to contend for the faith. So for the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking at how to contend for the faith. This is the application. Next time, we'll describe how to build yourself up so that you can contend for the faith. And how to evangelize and reach out to the lost. Let's read verse 16 through 19. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. How shall we contend for the faith? The key word here is the verb remember in verse 17, but you must remember. The first step in contending for the faith is to remember something. And who is called to remember? Who should remember? Jude says, you, beloved. He's talking to Christians. What should we remember? The predictions of the apostles of Christ, he says. Why should we remember? To identify the fulfillment of the predictions. You know, sometimes we just need to memorize scripture to be more prepared to contend for the faith. Do you memorize scripture? Have you memorized more than one verse of the Bible? If you're going to preach the true faith, the gospel, then we need to memorize some verses that will help us to remember what the gospel is all about. We can all quote John 3:16, probably, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's a great verse to memorize because it talks about the promise of eternal life for those who will believe. But Jude tells us that we should also remember the predictions and the promises concerning those who do not have eternal life. This will motivate us to avoid their bad influence because the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Or it may motivate us to go and reach out to them with the truth of the gospel. How can we remember? Well, by scripture reading, memorizing scripture. As in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. If you're doing these things, that will help you to remember the scripture. Reading, meditating, memorizing, teaching. So remember that the predictions of the apostles will come to pass. That's an important thing for us to do. In verse 18, he quotes from the Apostle Peter. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. He's quoting from 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Peter wrote before Jude, and he said that there will be scoffers who come in the last days. And Jude says, remember that prediction? Well, they're here. They've come now, these scoffers, following their own sinful desires. These are the false teachers that Jude has been warning us about. So the first step in contending for the faith is to remember that those who oppose the faith are here. And this, we remember, fulfills the predictions that the apostles gave us. Let me read this so that you can remember what the Apostle Peter said in context. 2 Peter 3, verse 1 through 14. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook the fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water, and through water, by the word of God. and that by means of these the world that existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. We should remember the words of the Apostle Peter in this chapter because it will help us to look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, and it will encourage us to be diligent and grow as we follow Jesus. Let's look at another prediction of the apostles, this time from the Apostle Paul, also about what will happen in the last days. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 9. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. So we have some predictions from the apostles of what will happen in the last days. And what we see is there will be people who abandon the faith or oppose the faith, and their lives are very ungodly. So when we see ungodliness, we shouldn't be shocked. We should remember that this is what the apostles told us would happen in the last days. And we are living in the last days. Jude wrote near the end of the first century, and he already saw the fulfillment to the apostles' predictions. How much more, as we're living in the last of the last days, will we see people who are living this way? So the first thing to do is remember the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another prediction of the Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 through 12. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is taken out of the way. The apostles predicted a lot about the last days. We're expected to remember these things, and we should remember what's going to happen, because some of it may be fulfilled in our lifetime. Not only should we remember the words and the predictions of the apostles, which we have in the New Testament, but we should also remember the descriptions in the New Testament of non-Christians, or those who are anti-Christian. Jude said in verse 16, "These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain an advantage." He describes non-Christians this way, grumblers. It's the characteristic of their life. Why are they grumbling? Because they're malcontents. They're always wanting more, more, more. They will never be content because they're following their own sinful desires. And when you follow your own desires, you'll never be satisfied. They're not following the Lord Jesus and submitting to the desires of God. They are loud-mouthed boasters. You know, some people are just loud-mouthed, but these speak loudly in a boasting way. They are boasters. Characteristically, they always boast about their lives, and they love to get attention, so they're loud-mouthed. Showing favoritism to gain advantage. They may treat you specially, but they're only trying to gain an advantage. They may flatter you, but they're only trying to get control over you. They make you feel good so that you would give them what they want. Jude also describes these false teachers in verse 19. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. So first notice, they cause divisions. A divisive person in Greek is a heretic. Heresy is teachings that divides the church. People inventing new doctrines that split off from evangelical Christianity. And they'll try to drive a wedge in between the leaders and the believers in the church. It says that they are worldly people. They're not heavenly-minded people. They're worldly. They follow the world and the ways of the world. John said, if anyone loves the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For the things of the world, that is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are not from the Father. Those who live this way will perish, John warns in 1 John chapter 2. These worldly people are the ones who cause divisions. And finally, in Jude 19, he says that they are devoid of the Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean about these people? Are they Christians or are they non-Christians? Well, they're non-Christians by definition. If they do not have the Holy Spirit, then they don't belong to Christ. Christians have received the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8:9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Paul said in Ephesians 1:13, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So all Christians, when they believed in the gospel, they became Christians, and the Holy Spirit came to dwell within them. That's one of the promises in the new covenant. He will give you a new spirit. He will put his spirit within you. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians 1:22, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So how do you know whether you're a Christian or not? Well, you should have the testimony of the Holy Spirit, who bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. But at very least, to be a Christian, you have to have believed the gospel and received the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what makes you born again. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian yet. So you should recognize a non-Christian by these marks of they don't have the Holy Spirit, therefore they're worldly, they cause divisions, and they follow their own sinful desires. There should be a clear difference between Christians and non-Christians. And so Jude tells us to remember the descriptions of non-Christians, so we'll recognize them when they come. Stephen recognized it even among the religious people. In Acts 7, verse 51, he said, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Now, those were some of his last words, and he was after that killed. He was murdered. So don't be surprised if the people who do not have the Holy Spirit persecute those who do have the Holy Spirit. I think it's in Galatians where Paul says, just like the one who didn't have the Holy Spirit persecuted the one who did. The child of the flesh will persecute the child of the promise. So remember that. But I think it's important to remember also that we were just like these people who were deceived and living in their sin. And we'll learn next week how to contend for our own faith to build ourselves up, and also how to reach out to those who were deceived. So thank you for listening to Verse by Verse. And if you like these teachings, you can subscribe to our podcast at brentonpowers.podomatic.com. That's brentonpowers.podomatic.com. You could download any of our past teachings for free at brentonpowers.podomatic.com. God bless you.